Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rockstar 101. His name is Brandon. He's the DJ.
His name is Shim. He is the rock star. Class is in session. And as we call Shim the rock star, I have a question for you, my friend.
Bring it.
What's going on with you and Royal Bliss?
Oh, yeah, right.
We haven't talked about that yet. For crying out loud. I'm sitting there just kind of going through stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe we haven't discussed this yet.
So I basically went to Sundance Film Festival to do a showcase, which is in Salt Lake City, Utah, right? Yeah, it's Salt Lake, north of Salt Lake, right? It's up in the mountains there.
I believe so.
And so I went up there, and I was asked by management if, hey, they're down the bottom of the hill, like 20 minutes from the airport, do you want to extend your trip a couple days or like a day and go and write a song with Royal Bliss? And we hadn't actually met. We talked on the phone once, and I knew their stuff because we're on the same management. And I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds good. So I basically like just pulled up at the airport after Sundance, and then Neil picked me up in his truck, and we went back to his place, pounded a bunch of beers, hung out all night and talked shit, and then the next day got up, and we basically started jamming, and this song Medication came out, and I had the idea. It was just a rough idea that I had a bunch amongst all my other ideas. Mm. And then we kind of wrote it in his living room, the verse and the chorus. And then we got together with the guitar player Taylor, and he came up with the riff, and then we started crafting the lyrics for the verses and just kind of pulled the song together. And it was called Medication. And I was like, cool, that's a nice song. That's fun. It's actually, I was actually really happy with it. And then it turns out they were like, yeah, we're going to record it for the album. I was like, fucking great. Cool. And then they were like, yeah, we just signed to E1. They want to make it the single. I was like, fucking great. Cool, man. And then it was like, so do you want to sing on the record? And I'm like, yeah. So the next time I was going over from LA to New York, I stopped by Salt Lake and I went in. I think I did it on the Crucified tour. I can't remember. And I went in and I sang.
I think there's a lot of part of the Crucified tour
yes,
you don't remember.
That's 100% true, mate.
But that would have been an odd stop for
you. I don't think it was there.
On that tour, because you were here in El Paso and you went straight to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was.
You had to hit that overnight.
Yeah, I was flying around a lot during the promo section for Crucified. So I probably just stopped in Salt Lake. And I went in and I sang the second verse. And then the chorus, and now I'm on the song. I'm featured on the second verse and the chorus of the song, and I'm in the video, and they're going to drop the video. It was funny when we were doing the – you'll see in the video – I haven't seen the video yet, but you'll see in the video when it makes it. The video clip is kind of like the band's in a mental asylum, and they're watching
this. Yeah, I'm actually looking at the picture that you put up on your Twitter page.
Yeah. So they're in a mental asylum, and there are TVs in each room that are broadcasting. It's kind of like Clockwork Orangey a bit, or like a I love the idea for the video clip, and it's got this really eerie images of kind of very close to what we're seeing today. Of and they asked me, would you do like the sort of footage that you see in a commercial for Medication, the ones where everyone's happy and they're just like, everything's great because I started taking this erectile dysfunction pill.
I was gonna say, you're the dude in the bathtub with your chick in the other bathtub next to you on the cliff overlooking the water for the Cialis commercial.
Yes, that's exactly me. And they wanted to have, they actually said, because the guys who made the video for Medication, it's Chisel Flicks, who made the Crucified video. So they knew what I kind of do. They kind of knew my vibe already. And they were like, yeah, can you just do the same thing that you did in the Crucified video, where like you do one take normal and then you do one take all fucked up and crazy, and then we'll cut between the two and it'll get kind of glitchy. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. Problem is, you got COVID. I recorded them like a month and a half ago or whatever. So I got Phil Guffnasm on Twitch, my dad, to come down and basically film me with the camera that I'm using right now for the podcast at a park. We just went down the street to a park, and I just grabbed a couple of props, and I was like, let's just film me by the creek, film me by the lake, film me walking across the oval, the green area where the soccer players are playing. And we just filmed it fucking ghetto as fuck, totally free, totally gangster, just really grimy and grungy. And it made it in the video. I still haven't seen it. I'm scared to watch it. I'm scared to see how much of it they used. But Neil said that he was really happy with it. The band said they loved it. And so that's coming out in a week or two. And they've got a good record deal going on right now. So they're going to be pumping a lot of promotion into it. It'll get out there. It's going to do well.
Yeah, it says here that the single is going to be released coming up on August 14th, which is about 2 weeks from the day that we're recording this episode of Rockstar 101. Looking forward to that, man. So you'll have to send me the video so that I can critique it.
Yes,
critique. Not really. I just want to see it.
We'll critique it.
What the hell am I? I have no knowledge of videos or anything like that. What the hell am I going to tell you?
That's why we need.
It looks good.
That's why I'm here for it. That looks good. I like the way that
does
the flip.
That looks good to me, man.
When it cuts from you to the other guy, that's good. Like that.
All right. So we got some questions over on YouTube, and this one comes from Gio Vedana, who I am guessing is also Australian because at the end of it, he says, much love, mates. And that
probably
is something I think
or
an Australian
English
would say.
Or English.
Or English.
Yes.
Either one. So he's just saying that he's loving the podcasts. He's got some rapid fire band battles that he has kind of brought up because you know what you've been doing on your hammock quizzes where you got
the two bands. Yep.
And you have to pick. But before we get to any of his, I got a massive problem with one of the ones that you brought up.
Here we go.
How in the world do you compare? Do you know which one I'm going
to
say yet?
No, but I love the fact the reason that I put any of this stuff up there is specifically to provoke this type of conversation.
How in the world do you compare Queen and Muse? I'm not taking anything away from Muse. I think Muse is great. I got a bunch of their stuff on my playlist.
Right.
But it's Queen.
No, I understand. Well, who would you compare to Queen?
Bowie.
Okay.
I would say Queen or Bowie. Mm-hmm. If you want to go like truly just iconic rock, I mean, we already picked Zeppelin and Hendrix, but Zeppelin would be a good one that you can compare with Queen. Sure. Pink Floyd or Queen. And that's me. I would stick more to, I think, the older stuff, 70s, 80s, things like that.
You want to know why? I'll tell you why, because here's the reason.
Tell me why.
I shall educate you on why this question is so relevant in today's day and age. The reason is because over the last 15 years, when Muse blew up by 2000, they've been a massive worldwide band for 20 fucking years, right? But to the UK, they are God. They are gods among
Muses.
Men. Muse. Fuck yeah, dude.
They more so than Queen.
No, not more so. The reason that I asked the question was because Muse have that massively theatrical, Queen-esque, musical theater, larger-than-life sound. And they're the only band in the last 20 years that has really tackled that type of theatrical, holy shit, like classical, educated, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody-esque, not like as good as, not saying they're as good as, but they ride that lane where they've blended so many different styles and so many different, you know, and they really fucking, they're bouncing around, they're pretty next level, right? But if you hadn't grown up with Queen, you might call Muse the queen of your generation. If you were born and raised in the UK and you hear Queen on the radio, but Muse is your band. Like you grew up with Muse. You watched them grow and you were following the records. Why are you glitching out on me now? Your feed is glitching out again, for fuck's sake. So if that was the case, I'm going to switch to 5G and it's going to fuck up. And that, anyway, so I'm going to keep talking while Brandon's figuring out his thing. It might be my end. It's probably his. But that would be the reason. It's the main reason. And you look very enamored with what I'm saying. You definitely are paying attention. I appreciate the fact that you're pausing and giving me so much of your attention right now. Do you know what I'm saying,
well,
Brandon?
Well, you know, I wanted a legitimate answer there. And I think you gave me a solid answer. I still can't believe
and
that you
compared
me.
And it's a great ventriloquist move you're doing there. Being able to talk without moving your mouth like that is amazing. It really is. How do you do that?
Is it just glitching out again?
No. I thought you were just talking without moving your mouth. You're studying ventriloquism, right?
No, I'm talking now.
Oh, you've decided to start moving your mouth again. Okay, cool.
I have been moving my mouth this entire time.
Okay.
I have been back.
All right, so here's what we're going to do.
No, I mean, I dig Muse.
Is it coming back? You are so fucking faded and glitchy. I'm going to call you back in 1 second. I'm going to call you back, and literally it's going to take me 1 second. Boom, boom, boom. Bang, bang, bang. Here we go. Calling him back. What the fuck happened there? And they're just going to make it on the podcast. Here we go.
You probably hear the sound of the Skype ring.
Oh, yeah. They fucking heard it loud and clear when I was calling you back. For anyone who's wondering, yes, Brandon and I both are, whenever I pick up his call or he picks up mine, we both just are amazing. We're both doing that.
That's what I'm telling you. We need to write a song to the Skype ringtone, but it has to be a song of frustration, because the time when it really goes on is when one of our computers is acting up and it's being a pain in the ass, and it's all of us, it's just us sitting here just completely bent out of shape and pissed off.
Fuck
like me
shit.
About
nothing
20
works.
Exactly 20 minutes ago before we were recording, where like people know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I've been having issues with my laptop and my company. Obviously they don't want to spend a bunch of money right now because COVID-19, and we've cut jobs all across the board, and they're trying to do everything that they can. And God bless our guys in IT, man. They've been helping me out. The guy by the name of Robert has just been a huge help. The guy's been amazing. But unfortunately, if you know anything about computers, if you get tooling around with it too much, it can reset things or change settings, and something like that happened. And so when I spent about 5 minutes earlier trying to figure out why I couldn't hear Shim at all. And then I went to the little thing, and like the little chat popped up that says like, "Hey, what's your problem?
What's it called? The chat bot? The chat bot?
The chat bot?
Eve."
And immediately I rolled my eyes and I was like, "There's no chance this thing is going to figure it out. This is terrible. This is a waste of time." But I stuck it out, and it was like, "Hey, let me scan your computer." And I was like, "Okay." And then it was like, "Hey, I think I found a problem. Would you like me to fix it?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then it said,
"Is that what you
did
were
it
like?
Fix your problem?" Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally. I talked to it. I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then it was like, "So, okay, like I think I fixed it. Go check it out and see if it did." So then I hopped on YouTube and I hit play, and it started playing through my headphones like I needed it to. And I was like, "Oh my God." So then I'd be sure to type in the chatbot. I said, "Thank you very much. You're the best chatbot I've ever had." And then it never talked back. It never responded.
That hurt here. Yeah.
That hurt here.
It's not cool. You know why? Because they haven't been able to program feelings into AI yet. They know they're programmed coding. They haven't programmed human emotion. I know. And I don't think they're doing it because they're scared that it's the end. I think they're doing it because they just don't care about people.
Like, oh my God, that reminds me. Speaking of AI, you saw Ex Machina, right?
Yeah, that was pretty great.
That's a great movie, right?
Yeah.
So there, have you heard of the world's most identical twins?
Oh, no, I've seen Netflix movie that was, there's three twins that weren't related, three identical twins that weren't actually physically related, but they looked identical. But no, I haven't seen the most identical twins.
Wouldn't it be triplets if it's three?
Yeah, triplets, go.
they consider themselves, they are called the world's most identical twins. Mm-hmm. And they've been in things before. They were on an episode of Botched. You know what Botched is?
Yeah, Botched.
It's a plastic surgery show where you've had something done to you. It was done horrifically. So you go in to get it fixed. Well, they didn't need anything necessarily fixed. They truly wanted to be as identical as possible. It was to the point they were getting a boob job done, and they're talking to the doctor about, well, like, do you see how this nipple points this way a little bit too much? We need you to bring it around. And
oh, for God's
sake. Guess the doctor tried to explain to him, like, we can't do that. Like, that's not how this works. But anyway, the reason they're most recently in the news is because they share a boyfriend. And they want to get pregnant by said boyfriend at the same time so that they can experience pregnancy. So immediately when you think, oh my goodness, this dude has two twins. First of all, my thought went to that story about Ben that we talked about that we never didn't confirm.
Yeah, yeah. But
also, I got to see what these chicks look like. So I want you to Google world's most identical twins.
Okay.
Because the first thought that popped into my head was, holy crap, the robots from Ex Machina have duplicated and they're now taking over the world because they've had enough plastic surgery. They don't look real anymore.
Right.
Like, they don't look super weird. Like, you know, the ones that try to look like anime figures, like the people who do that stuff. Nice face, by the way.
Yeah,
did
I
you
was
see
gonna
it?
Say, yeah, I'm looking at them. Oh, is this their husband too? This is the guy?
I think so.
Yeah,
well, you
yeah,
got the picture of three
the guy
of them.
With the big ears sticking out.
So doesn't it kind of look like,
oh my
like,
God,
oh my God, the robots have come
so
alive.
That's so gross. That's so fucking eerie, dude. That's so... I'm looking at a picture of them
and
I'm like...
And they have those, like, big eyes?
Yeah, they're like... The girl from Ex Machina or Machina?
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. She was super skinny because it's a fucking movie. These chicks have obviously had a massive amount of Botox shoved in their face and the tits are huge. And
that's what makes them look... Because it looks emotionless.
So
almost.
Were they... Yeah,
like, that's why they almost
God,
look
it
robotic.
Looks like Children of the Fucking Corn, man. Straight up, the way they're... Join us. They fucking... And this guy... Something's missing in this guy's eyes. Our baby plans. Oh, my God. They're getting worse. As you go to
yeah,
more
that's
recent...
That's what I'm telling you, man.
The more recent...
The scarier
yeah.
it looks.
Yeah, you're right. That does look very Ex Machina, Machina, whatever it is.
Machina. Yeah, I want to go watch that movie again. By the way, if anybody's listening and you have not watched Ex Machina,
you know what the problem with Ex Machina was?
Go watch it.
Is it's so hyped. I watched it because everyone was like, "Wait a minute, you haven't seen it? You haven't seen it?" But then when I finally got around to watching it, I was like, "Oh, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie." But I was expecting like Star Wars because everyone said, "Dude, that's like every movie after Ex." Mark and I, it's changed everything. I'm like, well, has it changed everything? Oh, Christ. Mm-mm. Hold on. I locked my family out. I locked the door.
Oh, I'll sit here. I can do the Skype music while we wait for Shim to come back. Do, 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 do. Shim locked out. His family from the house. Yeah, yeah, his family is locked out of the house. He's got to creep outside as quiet as a mouse.
Okay, what the fuck did I miss? Anyway, so what's the next thing?
Just go back and listen. It was gold, baby.
What's the next thing?
I was just saying also really quick, if anybody hasn't seen it, definitely go see Ex Machina. It has Oscar Isaac in it.
Yeah, he was dope.
Who's brilliant, and it
was
also
that,
has...
Was that the role that pushed him over the edge? Was that the role that really made him, like, put him on the A-list status?
It was one of, I think the one that really put him on A-list, obviously, was Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had been in a ton of things already. He's arguably one of the greatest actors we have out there, but he's brilliant in that movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's Domhnall Gleeson. Who also plays, is it General
Star
Nux?
Wars. Yeah, that guy's going to do something. He's a great actor. He's a great actor.
That's also Brendan Gleeson's son. If you don't know who Brendan Gleeson is, he played Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies. Of course, Brendan Gleeson has been in a ton of other things. There's a movie we're just going down a weird rabbit hole of movies right now. But he's also, there's a brilliant movie with Brendan Gleeson and,
Did you have more questions? So that we don't just fall down this rabbit hole?
But I'm falling down this rabbit hole. Quiet, hold on.
Quiet,
I'm thinking,
quiet,
I'm thinking
quiet,
something.
Brendan, me.
Quiet. I want silence on this podcast while I think of this. God damn it. I know what it was, too. It was called, like, it's a police movie, and he plays this cop that's kind of a jerk, but it's hilarious.
Isn't that every police movie ever?
Kind of. Oh, The Guard. It's The Guard, and it's a great movie, and it also has Don Cheadle. There you go. Couldn't remember Don Cheadle for some strange reason, but go watch The Guard as well. Anyway, so I did have another question here.
Just bring it. Let's do
it. It's very sporadic today. But this also comes from Gio over on YouTube, and he was asking, is Brent Smith from Shinedown as humble as he seems on interviews and YouTube videos? And I can only speak from my interactions with Brent, which is very limited, and it's more on the radio side, but he's been great every single time. We just recently interviewed him. It was right when COVID-19 hit. So maybe 4 months ago, maybe 3 months ago.
Right.
And he was awesome. And, you know, they book these interviews and you get like a 10-minute slot. Well, they were looking for something else. And I guess it wasn't one of those kind of big tours that you do where it's you call this radio station, you get 10 minutes. You call this radio station, you get 10 minutes. Yeah, and if you go over, you have the handler kind of jump in and they're like, hey, we need to move on. We didn't have that. We talked with him for like 30 straight minutes.
Yeah.
And it started very interview-esque, obviously, because they were supposed to be coming to El Paso, and he's answering all the questions that he's probably heard a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And then it just became a conversation.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. And it got to the point where he's asking us questions, and it was incredibly conversational, and he was super cool. Mm. And anytime I've been involved with an interview with him, he's been great. But you're going to have more like of a personal relationship.
He was very humble. He's the thing that I remember about Brent most was Two things. Actually, no, they both happened at the same fucking time. I remember when we first, it was the first night of the tour, they were doing Sound of Madness. This thing was blowing up and we got the slot for the opening up for them on their headline tour. And the general rule, if you're headlining, is on the first day or two of the tour, you go to the bands that are opening for you and you have a drink and you get to know each other a little bit and you have a sort of break the ice, break bread vibe. Well, Brent invited me onto his bus, singer to singer. And I didn't really know that much about the band at the time. I knew their first, the record previously, and I'd heard Sound of Madness, but I hadn't been following the band like since I was a kid or anything. I was like, cool, this band's dope. Hey, there's the singer. Get to know Brent. He invites me on the bus and he's like, so, and he, I remember I didn't really understand the questions, right? I didn't understand the questions because he was trying to be real. I thought, I got the feeling afterwards that he was a bit unsure of how to talk to me because he'd only seen the show. And when you see, I think it's
your accent.
It's partly the accent, but also I found out after we talked for a couple of minutes, it was because when I'm on stage, I act like I'm insane.
Well, you are.
Yeah. Well, no, but more so on stage. And if you haven't spoken to me privately, you'll be like, do I want to talk to him? Maybe he's going to tell me to shut the fuck up or get the fuck up or whatever. So he got me on the bus and he was like, so I just wanted to hang out for a second and just sort of before I talk to everyone else in your band and your crew, just sort of wanted to get the vibe on what you guys kind of like to do. Like, do you chill? Do you smoke weed? Are you straight laced? Like, you don't do anything? Do you like to have a drink or do you like to party? Like, I just want to get a feel for you so we can sort of hang out and, make it work for you guys. And I said, nah, we're pretty chill, man. Like, we don't smoke weed and we'll have a drink. And he said, cool, so you're the same as us. You're just pretty chill. And I'm like, yeah. And then he said, like, so I think he said, yeah, I wasn't really sure what, the reason I ask is because I wasn't really sure exactly what you guys might be into based off your show. And I said, oh, what about the show? Like, I was pretty proud of the show at that point. We were on the second album by that point. And I said, what about the show? And he said, well, you know, that crazy guy, that madman thing you do. And I'm like, what madman thing? And I remember he paused and he looked at me and he was like, you don't know? And I'm like, no.
You don't know you're a crazy person?
No. I was like, no, I'm energetic like you, right? And he's like, no, not like me. I don't abuse the crowd. You're different. He was like,
what did he mean by abuse the crowd?
When I tell the crowd, like, do what I said, fucking bitch. Like, make some fucking, like, when I say make some noise, bitch, or whatever, when, like, just a little bit of extra stuff that I throw in there to be like, that's my thing. And he was like, no, you've got a persona on stage. And that was the first time anyone had really told me. People used to say, oh, you're good on stage. You got a lot of energy. You're a good frontman, good live band, all that stuff. But he actually put the name on it. It was like, no, it's more of like a fucking madman was the word. But he didn't say it in like some sort of like, dude, you're awesome. You're like a madman. He was more like singer to singer, a little critique of like, nah, you've got this little separate thing. So I just wanted to make sure that if we're hanging out, we're cool. And I'm like, yeah,
Are you that?
Yeah,
or is
exactly.
That an onstage persona?
Yeah. He was like, is it a persona or are you, like Jacoby? He's like that in real life. If you meet Jacoby on stage, he's like that in real life. He'll be watching bands side of stage. He'll be behind the buses. He'll be on his own bus. He's fucking like that 100% of the time.
He is a human Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah. He's insane.
Jacoby is. That's the easiest way I can describe Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach is that he is a human Red Bull.
Yeah. And so I'm not like that. I have a lot of energy and a lot of passion, but I don't act like the way I act on stage. I don't act like that off stage. I make a point of bringing it down lower so that I can conserve that energy for the next show. Jacoby just has limitless energy. He's tapped into some next level shit. Brent, the point they're coming back around to, Brent is actually that humble because while I was on this bus having that conversation, after we chatted and had a drink, there was a person who had won a contest for the radio station come and meet Brent on his bus. So this kid came up with his mom for a couple of minutes and got a photo and had a chat. And he was talking to this kid and he was really, really cool and humble and just all the good stuff. Thank you for appreciating the music. It's there for you, all the good stuff. I steal a couple of his lines every once in a while. And then afterwards I was like, man, that was really cool. You gave that kid a bit of extra time and like, it wasn't just bang in, bang out. And I remember him telling me, and this was the first time I really spoke to Brent. And he said, no, man, what we do is important, man. And I already felt that way, but it was really good hearing it from someone else who was in my position. Not in my position, but in my role. Where he was like, no, this matters.
He kind of shares the job. Like, you guys have
yeah,
he share, a link.
The best way to put it would be that he shares the plight. Because some singers don't share the plight. Some singers are like, bring the money and the bitches. And other singers are like, I want to create the best art that I can, bring something of value to people, and have a legacy.
And then bring the money and bitches.
And then bring the money and bitches if it comes along with the trade. But he was like, yeah, this matters to people. Like, this music changes people's lives. And he was much more like that than I was. I was more like, look, this is music, and this music exists like all of the different religions and all of the different drug habits and all of the different TV shows. If this music gets you through the day, if this is what works for you, then it's available to you. Brent was more like, no, this is more important than anything. Music is the most important thing. And he believes it. And I remember seeing an interview where he's like, Shinedown is a living, breathing thing. I remember him saying that, and I was like, damn, dude, you are intense on this. You were like, this band is everything in the world. And one of the main differences in terms of the approach between Brent and myself is that he takes it so serious. The reason they're so successful is because of that attitude. And my thing is like, I just don't have that particular attitude. I'm like, my music is my music. My life is my life. And I put everything into everything that I'm doing at the time. But I think it's probably got to do with my abandonment issues and stuff, because I know that if I put all my eggs in one basket and then that basket is taken from me, or it disappears, or it dies, or for some reason it's gone, I'll be left with nothing. So I try to keep my stuff more like, okay, I put it out there and I do 100% of my work here. And then when I'm finished, it exists and it's out there, and whatever happens with it happens. And it's not about me, and it's not my attachment, and it's not my, it's partly a legacy, but it's like, it's also a protective mechanism where you put everything you have into it. I think in ways it gives you more of an ability to be completely raw and naked when you're crafting art, because you can say, if this fails miserably, it doesn't matter. There'll be another thing. This doesn't define who I am. And I'm not saying that Brent sees Shinedown as something, as what defines him. I wouldn't surprise me if he did, because you have to have that sort of mentality to take what he's done and do it with the band and everything. And that might be one of the reasons I'm not as successful as he is in that lane, because I can't live that way. I can't put all my eggs in that basket and then live with that stress and tension of, well, if this doesn't work, I have nothing else. I've seen bands that do that. I have a feeling that might have been what happened with the Puppies when we split, that mentality drove some decisions on their end. And I can't live that way. But for someone like Brent, to stay humble with that mentality is a challenge. And he manages to do it. He's like, this means everything, and I'm going to put 100% of myself into it. And then he can break it down and stay with his feet on the ground. Then you got your Jared Letos, who were like, this means everything, and we will fly with the angels into the stratosphere together.
Hey, he was the Joker,
man. I love Jared. I know Jared too. He's a genius, but he's fucking off with the fairies, man. He's gone.
Yeah, well. Whatever works for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
This is actually a good way to lead into the comparison question that we got from Gio over on YouTube. I'll get to the socials and everything here before we wrap up this episode. So if you do have a question or a comment or anything, I'll give the socials and everything there, because Gio actually asked these over on your YouTube page. So if you're listening to this podcast and if you do want to see the video of it, you are more than welcome to head over to Shim's YouTube page. You can find the videos plus all of his stuff he's doing with the Hollywood Rebellion and all of that is over there as well. But the first one that he brings up when it comes to the band battles, Incubus or Shinedown?
Incubus. Sorry, love Shinedown, but Incubus,
I knew I had a feeling you were going to, because you've talked about the Brandon Boyd story here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where you just made a complete fool of yourself in front of pretty much everybody at that point.
Yeah.
For me, this one is more difficult.
Right.
Just because of what Shinedown has been able to do. If you had asked me this 15 years ago, obviously that's not really fair to say, because Shinedown would have only been around for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Where now you're looking at Incubus has been around for 30 and Shinedown's been around for about 20. But man, early on, Incubus, that was my jam.
Oh, yeah.
Like Fungus Among Us, Science, Make Yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
even Morning View and A Curl Left of the Murder. But when it started to get to those albums, I wasn't as into them as I was before. I mean, I truly Make Yourself is one of my favorite albums of all time. Yeah. And those first three albums, I can listen to front to back all the time. And right. Brandon Boyd is arguably right up there. But then again, Brent Smith has made it up there on my list of favorite lead singers of all time. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that I would arguably give this one to Shinedown is because every single album that they have released, I listen to to back.
Right.
Every single one of them, starting with Leave a Whisper, because that came out back when I was in college, in college radio. And we played, what was the first single off of that? That was, I'm mixing it up with some of the other albums right now, and I actually had it right in front of me. That was Fly From the Inside. Phenomenal song.
Right.
And from there, it was full steam ahead with Shinedown. And they're one of those bands, and I will do this with Incubus too, but they're one of those bands that every now and then I will just go back and I feel like listening to The Sound of Madness or Us and Them or listen to songs like The Crow and the Butterfly, things like that. So I think I would have to give this one to Shinedown. So we're going to have to agree to disagree.
We shall acquiesce.
Which is really weird that I say that because, man, I'm telling you, back in the day, it was Incubus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was the new metal kid.
I agree with everything you're saying. It's just because Incubus is my top three bands of all time because of when I was growing up and listening to music, right? It's just they hold that place.
Yeah.
And you're never going to knock them down. Doesn't matter if the greatest band in history comes up in the next couple of years and I go, that's the best band ever. Incubus will still be. Like, Silverchair is nothing compared to Nirvana, right? But Silverchair is still going to be one of my favorite bands because that's the band that got me started. You know.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what makes some of these conversations so great is the fact that you could even admit, like, yeah, I understand why people would take this band over this other band, but I am picking this one for my own personal reasons, and that's what makes music so great is because it is so personal, and from the lyrics to the guitars to the bass to the drums to the turntables, depending on who you're listening to, that whole package together creates such a personal experience for you. And that's something that Shinedown's been able to do because they have the songs that will go from it's something I'm listening to when I want to relax and chill all the way to something I'm listening to when I'm working out, like Devil and some of that more recent stuff off the Attention album and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's close, you know, and Incubus would arguably beat out most other bands. So I think I'm coming to the realization that Shinedown might be one of my favorite bands, actually.
Yeah, probably.
If they're able to beat Incubus out on this comparison list here. So thank you, Gio, for the comment. And for anybody else out there, again, if you want to check out the videos of the podcast, you're more than welcome to do that over on Shim's YouTube channel. It's Shimon Moore. Over there, Shimon is the first name. Now, for all the other socials that you hear all the time, Shim Moore, at Shim Moore, Shimmoore, is where you can find him over on Twitter. You can also find him on his Facebook page. And don't forget, twitch.tv/TheHollywoodRebellion. That is where you can find him for the lockdown sessions and all the fun stuff that he does where you basically get to write a song with him. And if you're listening to this and you haven't been in on one of those, I stepped in on one of those. I just jumped in really quick to pop some lyrics in there last week because it's fun. Like it's something it's that awesome. I just had some spare time and I'm like, Shim's writing a song. I feel like doing this. So it's kind of cool,
it's
man.
It's awesome, man.
And a bunch of people said hi. If I didn't respond, hi, I'm sorry. I'm not
it's
trying to
be It's because Brandon's
dick.
A prick. Just,
yeah, it's I'm an asshole. Yeah. Like that's the bottom line. Sorry. I am so much better than everybody else out there. I cannot believe anybody would say
now
hi.
Now you're starting to sound like me.
Well, here's my hi to you all if you're out there. I think at least one of I know Darlene and Don and Darlene did at least I think I recognized their screen name so I know they're listening to this, so hi Don and Darlene. I hope everything's going great up in the Northeast, and you know, I would like to see your Red Sox do well, just not as good as
I gotta take a piss. Can we wrap it up?
Oh, would you just pump the brakes? My god, I'm having fun here. On that note, you can always find me. I'm over on Instagram and on Reddit. If you are on either of those, you can find me at The Real Brandalorian. You can drop me a message if you have any questions, comments, or anything. Shim's cameras are actually shaking.
Come on,
that's how much he's around right now. So on that.
Oh, you're a prick. No. His name is Brandon. He's the DJ.
His name is Shim. He's the rock star. Class dismissed!